and welcome to The Greenhouse. My name is Adam Green. This podcast comes to you straight from Phoenix, Arizona. It is Friday, February 2nd, 2007. It is actually the first show in a while for The Greenhouse. Sorry, been away, been a little sick lately, so I haven't really been able to get you a top-notch podcast, but look forward to doing that tonight. This show is about 20 minutes long, and like I said, it comes to you straight from Phoenix, Arizona. And what that means is there will be a decent amount of Arizona sports talk, but we always begin it with some national news, and there's definitely a few stories worth talking about today, but we'll go into little topics for today. Talk about Brett Favre coming back for a 17th season. We'll give a Super Bowl preview. Talk about the NBA All-Star Game. The reserves were announced yesterday. The Suns have three players going to Las Vegas in a couple of weeks, so that should be fun. Get into one of the newer segments called Say What, where we take a special quote from the last week or so, analyze it, usually a funny quote, something that maybe caught my attention. Then there'll be some Arizona Cardinals talk. Since we last talked, since The Greenhouse last aired, the Cardinals have hired a new head coach, Ken Wisenhunt, and he's hired a pretty good staff here, it looks like, of some quality top-notch assistants, Russ Grimm being one of them, so I'll talk about that. And of course, get into the Phoenix Suns, their 17-game win streak snapped by the Timberwolves, but they came back yesterday and beat the San Antonio Spurs at U.S. Airways Center. So, with that said, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me with The Greenhouse at atrufan@cox.net. That's A-T-R-U-E-F-A-N at cox.net. But getting right into a top story for today, Brett Favre announces he's going to come back for a 17th season, and Green Bay Packers fans are probably just singing for joy, and Aaron Rodgers is probably thinking, what the hell did I do wrong to be drafted in this situation? The guy was drafted a couple years ago, late in the draft by the Packers, seemed to be the heir apparent to Brett Favre, and it was generally thought that Favre would not be sticking around that much longer, and here he goes again. This is going to be Favre's third season, I believe, with Aaron Rodgers on the roster, so the things just keep getting worse and worse for Aaron Rodgers. Not like he played particularly well last year anyways when he got the chance, but for the Packers, this isn't really good news because it's time to move on from Brett Favre. They're not going to win a Super Bowl with him next year. And he did say, Favre was like, he's happy to be giving another shot. He says, and I quote, I'm so excited about coming back. We have a good nucleus of young players. We were 8-8 last year, and that's encouraging. But see, the problem, Brett Favre, is that you're not one of those young players, and you're not getting better. You're at best plateauing and kind of staying the same, which is just a mediocre quarterback who thinks he's still one of the greats. And granted, he's earned the right to say when he's going to go, but he also needs to have a little bit of respect for the franchise and say, you know what, maybe it is time for me to move on, because Brett Favre does not have any more than maybe one or two more years left. And are you saying that what Brett Favre can give you now is that much better than what a young quarterback could give you, especially if that young quarterback gets time to grow into the job and get that on-the-job training that they're going to need? Not a good move for the Packers here, so the fans may be excited, but you need to look past that, look past your Brett Favre love and say, you know what, maybe it's time to go in a different direction, because that's what needs to happen for this franchise to be successful. So Brett Favre coming back for season number 17. And also, who couldn't be excited about the prospect of more Brett Favre love by the end of the season, because this past season we had to deal with the, oh, he's going to retire, so sad, Brett Favre the legend, and we get to do it all over again next year, so I am definitely looking forward to that. But on a serious note, I'm looking even more forward to the Super Bowl. That happens this Sunday. The Bears and the Colts should be a pretty good game. And to be honest with you, right now, I'm not even sure who I think is going to win this one. The Bears and their good defense, the Colts and their great offense. Let's just lean towards the Indianapolis Colts. The Bears, Rex Grossman will say it like everybody else has, he's not a very good quarterback. And he's going to show that on Sunday. Peyton Manning in the Battle of the Quarterbacks. In the Super Bowl, generally the best quarterbacks do come out on top, regardless of how good the defenses that they play with are. So with that, we're going to say the Colts win this one 27-23. How's that? Colts 27, Bears 23. But should be a good game, pretty entertaining. All right, switching sports now. We're going to head over to the NBA, and the NBA All-Star reserves were announced yesterday on TNT. And just to go off those names, the East, Caron Butler, Dwight Howard, Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, Jason Kidd, Vince Carter, and Jermaine O'Neal make it. For the West, Steve Nash, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, Carlos Boozer, Allen Iverson, Dirk Nowitzki, and Tony Parker. Now, most of those guys you can make a case for, and I'm not going to say that these guys didn't deserve to be here because the coaches select the reserves, and you think the coaches know a little bit of something about basketball, so they have a right to pick the guys that they think deserve to be All-Stars. But the real problem in the voting right now is the starters. Dwight Howard should be starting in the East, not Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal's played 10 games, and he hasn't even been that good in them. You got over in the West, you have Yao Ming was voted as a starter. I think we can all tell you why that, because he's from China, and there's trillions of people that live in the country of China. And you got Tracy McGrady as one of the other starting guards instead of a guy like Steve Nash, who is the back-to-back MVP and playing at an all-star MVP level again this season. So that's where the real problem is. But looking at it, a few guys do get stumped. Michael Redd from the Bucks averages 28 points a game. Josh Howard from the Mavericks deserves to be there. Carlos Boozer made it. He's going to be replaced. So the West will be able to fade aside. Boozer won't make it. He won't play because he's hurt. Yao Ming won't play. So guys like Howard, Carmelo Anthony, they have a chance to make it in there. David Stern makes that selection. But the East, it's all screwed up. Then again, the East is pretty bad anyway, so what difference does it make who their all-stars are? So those are your top news stories for the day coming around the corner. And again, to say what, talk about the Arizona Cardinals and then get some Phoenix Suns talk. You are listening to... All right, and welcome back to the show. My name is Adam Green, and you are listening to The Greenhouse, a podcast coming straight to you from Phoenix, Arizona. It is Friday, February 2nd, and we're going to get into a segment I like to call Say What. In this segment, I take a quote from an athlete or somebody of note over the past week or so, and let's talk about it. And this week, it's going to be Terrell Owens. He says, and I quote, "I guess I," and this is what he's talking about on his second surgery on his finger, which will take place next month, sometime in March. He says, quote, "I guess I won't get any respect until I have a limb dangling off me and you can physically see it. I did it for my teammates." And coming from Terrell Owens, the consummate teammate, of course, this is a guy that everybody wants to have a locker next to you because you know this guy is going to be great to have you in any locker room issue or just really in any issue in sports in general. Terrell Owens, the consummate professional, great teammate. Of course he did it for his teammates because he's never done anything for himself. Not Terrell Owens, no, no. This guy always does it for his teammates, for his team. He's never selfish. So Terrell Owens, of course, I don't know why you feel the need to explain this to anybody because everybody already knows that you're such a team player. It shouldn't even be an issue. So Terrell Owens, I agree with you. I respect this. I think that you need to have a limb dangling off of you for people to start respecting you as the great team player that you are because until then, people just won't get it and people just don't get you, T.O. And I think that is our fault in the media for not getting you. So please have a finger dangling off your hand or something, and then people will start to understand. So that was Say What for the week. We're going to come around the corner and get into some Arizona Cardinals football talk, and then we'll get into the Phoenix Suns. There's actually an interview with Amari Stoudemire and his thoughts on making the All-Star team. All that is coming up next. You are listening to The Greenhouse. And welcome back to The Greenhouse. And let's get into some Arizona Cardinals talk. Over the last couple weeks, it's been a while since I've done a show. And over the last few weeks, the Cardinals have hired a head coach, Ken Whisenhunt, from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he started to assemble his coaching staff. And I think he's got a great staff, judging by what ArizonaCardinals.com has right now. You got Russ Grimm as your assistant head coach and the offensive line coach. Clancy Pendergast has been retained as the defensive coordinator. You have Todd Haley will be the offensive coordinator. Richie Anderson, tight ends coach. Terrell Austin, defensive backs. Maurice Carthen, running backs coach. Kevin Spencer, special teams. Billy Davis, linebackers. John Lott, strength and conditioning. Keith Volgamott is your assistant strength and conditioning coach. Rick Courtright, assistant defensive backs. Barbara Gill, administrative assistant. And Cindy something is the assistant and coach Whisenhunt. But the big names here, Ken Whisenhunt, Russ Grimm, Pendergast, Haley, Anderson. And actually, Maurice Carthen, I think, is a big one. Now, Whisenhunt, I think it's a great hiring. Everything this guy said in the press conference, all the reviews about him seem to be great. And he's doing something that Dennis Green never did, and that's hire capable assistant coaches, sans Clancy Pendergast, because he stuck around. But if you look at the staff then, Russ Grimm was a candidate for the Cardinals head coaching job, along with a couple other head coaching jobs. Todd Haley was the receiver, like the passing game coordinator for the Cowboys last year, so we had to deal with Terrell Owens, but that offense was ranked sixth in football. You have Maurice Carthen, who had your running back coach. This guy started off last season as the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, and sure, that didn't work out too well, but it's the Cleveland Browns. I don't think anybody could make that offense work well. So you can't really pin that on Maurice Carthen. But you look at this list here, and these are guys that are very capable coordinators or proven coordinators, or at least up-and-comers in the NFL. And that's something where the Cardinals administration, you have to give them kudos for spending the money to get a guy like Russ Grimm, who could have been a head coach here, but instead he's the assistant head coach, offensive line coach. And this is going to be a great coup for the Cardinals to get these great coaches here and have a very legitimate staff, because I think it's been proven in the NFL that you need to have good assistant coaches to make it work, because your head coach can't do everything at once. So kudos to the Arizona Cardinals for that. But then we go to another end. The Cardinals have raised their ticket prices this season. A press release on azcardinals.com, it says that the Cardinals have had the most affordable ticket prices in the NFL for a while, but sideline seats have gone up about $8.50, and other seats have increased by either $2 or $5. And, you know, I guess when you look at it, if you're spending money on season tickets, you probably have a decent amount of money saved up anyways if you can waste it on NFL football. And also, you look at the Cardinals, their ticket prices have been one of the lowest in the NFL. And they move into this fancy new stadium. So, I mean, it's hopefully a better product, because you can't keep losing and expect fans to keep sticking with you over these price increases. Sooner or later, now granted, the season ticket waiting list is still pretty full, but sooner or later, the fans will start to turn on you big time, and they'll forget about this nice stadium. So the Cardinals, if they're going to keep raising ticket prices, need to get it going this year, because they need to win over those fans that have decided not to stick with them, and they cannot afford to have University of Phoenix Stadium turn into a place where it's going to be all opposing fans again, because we do not want it to be Sun Devil Stadium West. That would be a total disaster for the Arizona Cardinals. But other than that, everything's been good so far this offseason. Now Ken Wisman's going to finish up with his coaching staff. Got a couple more guys, quarterback coach, to name one. And then they're going to start focusing on the draft. And also, they have a couple big decisions to make. Do you re-sign Leonard Davis? That's probably the biggest decision he's going to have to make. And then other people are wondering where this team's going to go in free agency and in the draft. So that's some Cardinals talk. Coming around the corner, we're going to have some Phoenix Suns talk. And also, an interview I had with Amari Stoudemire, a couple of questions about his thoughts on making the All-Star team. So all that's coming up next on The Greenhouse. And welcome back to The Greenhouse. If you have any questions, comments about the show, shoot me an email at atruefan@cox.net. That's A-T-R-U-E-F-A-N @cox.net. Be happy to hear from you. Anyways, let's get to this. Amari Stoudemire is one of three Suns named to the All-Star team. And this is the second time that this trio has been selected to the All-Star team. They went a couple years ago. You know, Nash, Amari, and Sean Marion. And Amari is pretty excited about this. He even said, and you can listen to the interview, that he knew this was coming.
What are your thoughts on making the All-Star team this year?
Feels pretty good. You know, it's definitely was a goal of mine. Kind of told you guys that before the season started, back before training camp, that I was planning on making it. So when I set goals, I really strive for them. You know, and so that's pretty much what it is.
To be selected by the coaches and stuff and your peers, does that make it a little bit extra special for you?
It makes it worth that. Knowing that the coaches selected you to go, they appreciate your hard work and what you do for a team, and that feels great.
Thanks.
And that was Amari Stoudemire. Caught up to him before the game yesterday against the San Antonio Spurs. So Amari said he was going to make the All-Star team during all the microfracture surgery and the rehab, and he came back and he did it. So you got to give him props for that. Amari Stoudemire, job well done. Now those three get to go to Las Vegas in a couple weeks and represent the Phoenix Suns, along with the entire coaching staff. Mike D'Antoni and his staff will be coaching the Western All-Star team, so it should be a fun time for the Phoenix Suns and their staff and their representatives, and they should do a good job in Vegas for us. But the Suns yesterday beat the San Antonio Spurs in a big game, and we're going to get into that talk right around the break.
What I like to do, I got a couple run days, TV. Makes me be open, and I got happy to make the layups, and I was happy about that. But it was a good game, and we did a great job.
I think you know, we started the game off kind of sluggish tonight, but you know, we buckled down that second half. You know, it was a rough one because, you know, I guess it was that long trip we had, and you know, that I was just in practice. But at the same time, though, we pulled out a dirty, nasty win. That's what it was. So we need this win, and we're going to prove a statement, and we did that. I think we went there and did what we had to do, even though it was a sluggish game. You know, I wouldn't even say it was our best game. We went out there and did what we had to do.
We had to come out defensively against those guys there. Top team in the West, you know, they known for scoring the ball well down the stretch, and we wanted to hold them to, you know, limit the point. It was just us improving and just trying to get better as a team. We haven't beat them this year. We definitely want to come out and get a win and mission accomplished.
And that is the Phoenix Suns. Those were Leandro Barbosa, Sean Marion, and Amari Stoudemire after last night's win with the San Antonio Spurs. A 103-87 victory for the Phoenix Suns. And a pretty big game for the Suns. Sean Marion talked about how it was a big one, kind of like a statement game, and Mario Stoudemire said it was more about improving than anything else. But the Suns, all they've been hearing is how they were 0-6 against the West's best. They hadn't beaten San Antonio, Dallas, Utah, or the Lakers this season. And everybody kept saying that this was a different Suns team, and that from the team that fell apart, that was pretty bad early on in the season. And I think they showed it yesterday. Sure, the Spurs were coming off back-to-back games. They played in Utah and lost the night before, but the Phoenix Suns came out, and the way they won is what's impressive to me. Not so much that they won, because I figure they would. But they did it with rebounding and defense, the things that they never used to be able to do, especially against San Antonio. The Suns out-rebound San Antonio 51-41. The Suns only shot 44%, but they held the Spurs to 38.6% shooting from the field. And the Suns got to the line more, 23-27 from the line, whereas the Spurs only shot 17-19. And I think Tim Duncan actually committed a record number of fouls for himself. He committed, I think, four fouls for Tim Duncan. I can guarantee you he didn't think any one of them were actually legit fouls, and that's just the way the San Antonio Spurs are. But the Suns got to a horrible start in the first quarter, got down early, and they were down 22-16 by the end of it. But then they started to chip away, catch up, and they survived a couple bad calls. One, Tim Duncan got swatted by Sean Marion. Refs made a bad call, called him for a foul, and it was a clean block. It looked like that might turn the momentum to San Antonio's way, but the Suns showed some greatness, some toughness that this team didn't have a couple years ago in the Western Conference Finals. So I think what you're seeing is the Phoenix Suns team 2 years later can hang with the big guys and can win by running the ball and scoring really fast and scoring high score games, like your 122, your 115 games, or they can win dirty. They can win ugly, like Sean Marion said. 103-87 was the final yesterday. Amari Stoudemire, one of the big stories, 24 points, 23 rebounds for the Suns. Steve Nash's typical MVP performance, 13 points, 11 assists, 5-11 shooting. Rajah Bell only played 12 minutes. He was hurt, some knee problems. Hopefully he's okay. MRIs haven't said anything. Marion was solid, 12 points, 12 boards, and Boris Diaw, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 along with 4 assists. So the Suns with a very, very strong game, and that's something that they needed, I think, more than anybody. And this a loss would have meant a lot more than the win does, but I think the Suns, for their collective psyche, I mean, I think they knew they could beat San Antonio. I don't think that was an issue. But now some of the media guys can kind of start to say, you know what, maybe the Suns can't hang with these big teams, hang with the best in the West, and that maybe they are one of the best in the West. Because now they have to start to realize that this is a different Suns team. Like, sure, they got fed on the Eastern Conference, but they're still going to be able to take care of business, especially at home against the Western Conference. The San Antonio Spurs, Tony Parker, and also he had a nice game, and Tim Duncan was his usual self against them. And Manu Ginobili, one of the big stories, he led all scores with 32 points. But the big story is when he went up for a drive, went baseline, and when Amari Stoudemire went up to challenge, Ginobili kind of led with his knee right into an area of Amari Stoudemire that no man ever deserves to be kicked in. And there's some words exchanged after, of course, Amari rolled on the ground a little bit. He was in quite a bit of pain. He got assessed a technical foul. And from then on, it looked like he just tore things up for the Phoenix Suns. And he went on a tear. And luckily, he already has a couple of children right now, because who knows if he can have more after that. If you didn't see it, you can check it out on YouTube.com. Just search for Amari Stoudemire and Manu Ginobili. And I'm sure you'll find it. And if you're a guy, just make sure that you're sitting down and just be careful while watching that, because it is not fun to watch. So Phoenix Suns win 103-87. Big one. They play Utah Jazz tomorrow. That one will also be at U.S. Airways Center. And then I think it's Tuesday they play Denver Nuggets. So a couple of the top teams in the Western Conference for the Suns to take on here after that nice stretch of 17 in a row. And that, by the way, that was a great streak. I don't care that they lost to Minnesota. That's fine. 17 wins in a row against anybody is impressive. And the Phoenix Suns did a good job there. So that's going to wrap it up here for the Greenhouse. I appreciate you listening. Again, any questions, comments, concerns, email me at atruefan@cox.net. I'd love to hear from you. But otherwise, hope you enjoyed the show, and we will catch you next week. Bye.